We go down the Sus Street Burger guest hotline. We are joined by our friend, our pal, our buddy, and he's coming to town, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't talked publicly about a signing or, you know, an autograph session, but it might happen. Chris Johnson from Sportsnet joins us. How are you?
That would be an awfully short line if I ever was signing autographs, so no need to do that.
No, because are you not – now, are you a reoccurring part of Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night?
I'm going for week three this week, so I guess that's as reoccurring as it is.
Well,
it's longer than that, but I'm still okay. Part of it, so that's pretty exciting for me personally.
Yeah, you got to dig it, don't you? I mean, that's when it comes to this sport, I can't think of a more prestigious panel to be part of, really.
Well, and whenever you're sitting beside Ron McLean on, you know, in a professional setting, you've grown up loving hockey as I have my whole life, and obviously watched a lot of Hockey Night in Canada as a kid. I mean, it's still a little bit surreal for me, and it was nice to give my hometown a little shout out, which. From a small town in Ontario that made a lot of people there happy. So it's been pretty cool from here on, and I think I will be there for the foreseeable future anyway.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I know how much it means to you, and I, again, want to make mention you're going to come to Calgary, so I'm excited about that. And since you brought up Ron McLean, give a little plug to Jonah Carey, who does some work for Sportsnet, his podcast. Ron McLean was the guest last week. It was a spectacular conversation, and I encourage people to check it out. Speaking of spectacular information, you seem to drop a little bit of a bombshell over the weekend with some reporting that the National Hockey League may move away from an All-Star game.
Well, it's certainly been tabled as part of some broader discussions with the NHL Players Association. And, you know, what's interesting here is I think that there's been, you know, a real intensity to wanting to create a bit more of a plan with the European games and games held internationally. And, that, you know, I do know one of the ideas tossed out there is perhaps that the All-Star game is kind of has its limitations, I guess. That, you know, they've tried a few different formats and going back to Europe and versus the world and having the draft concept and, you know, not really being able to make it that exciting anymore, that perhaps they get a little bit more bang for their buck, so to speak, if they did an international event instead with the top players in the league. And, you know, I'm not sure that it's beyond the discussion stage at this point. You know, it's certainly not something reporting is about to happen, but, you know, there's a feeling that they're trying to move past the Olympic decision as, you know, two sides that were divided on that issue and you know, find a way to make some plans for 3, 4, 5 years out, not just to do, you know, one-off events here and there like we saw the game in China or the one coming up in Stockholm between the Senators and Avalanche. So we'll see where these conversations go. That the sides have met each of the last 2 weeks, and I'm led to believe there's another meeting coming up shortly. So we'll try to stay abreast of what, you know, what's being said behind closed doors.
Are we in that territory of that Ryder Cup idea that was kicked around or was being discussed last year when the World Cup was on?
It's still on the table for sure. You know, I'm not certain it's going to happen, but, you know, it's all part of the league's desire, I think, in a lot of ways to get into some less traditional markets like London, you know, where we've seen the NFL play games pretty regularly now the last number of seasons, or even in Germany, you know, there's an arena in Cologne and one in Berlin that, you know, basically NHL sized and you know, you can have big events at. And I think that the belief is if you had Ryder Cup style, you're kind of selling it to people who, you know, are invested in the actual Ryder Cup and understand that format and might be a way to introduce them to hockey. So, you know, I would say that there's still a decent possibility of that. It's just, you know, it's tough to handicap where this is going because, you know, so much of it is predicated on the relationship with the league and the players and, you know, the fact that we have this CBA ending in 3 years' time kind of complicates matters a little bit as well. But, you know, I do feel that there's a lot of, right now it just seems there's some urgency, I think, is the best way to put it, to really draft a pretty big plan here and to find ways together to try to grow the game and make more money.
Just to clarify, are the Olympics part of this discussion or is this being kind of worked around the Olympics to avoid that controversy?
At this point, it's not part of the discussion, I don't think. Okay. Maybe conceptually, but not in a real way. I mean, look, 2022 now won't be on anyone's agenda, including the IOCs, until they get beyond Pyeongchang. And you know, I think that a key part of that next discussion will involve, you know, negotiations with them on the terms of, you know, what's covered if the players do return and all that. So at this point, I think that that's still a little bit in the faraway distance.
In conversation, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our NHL insider, senior hockey writer, joins us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. As we are speaking, the Ottawa Senators are hosting the Vancouver Canucks. Erik Karlsson is back in the lineup after missing the first couple of weeks of the season. And as you know, we saw up close and personal Alberta. Not sure they missed him. Pretty big statement yesterday from Coach Boucher when he referred to him as the best player in hockey.
Well, you know, he's allowed to say that. I think as his coach, he's allowed to have a little bias built in. But, you know, for sure he's in the top five, I would think, on most people's lists. I mean, the real question for Ottawa, you know, and not just in tonight's game, but moving forward, is how close is he to the guy we know this season? And you know, he had a pretty serious surgery when you hear him, you know, having a big chunk of his bone removed in his ankle. And, you know, given how much skating and mobility is key, is at the heart of really what he does probably as well or better than anyone at his position. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see here in the coming weeks what version of him they get back, because a healthy Erik Karlsson versus, you know, maybe a limited one could be the difference of a playoff spot for Ottawa. I do still see them as a team that is going to have to fight to get in there. I know they've got off to a strong start, and they scored a lot of goals on back-to-back nights in Alberta, but you know, it's great news for them to get him back, and I think that a lot of people are curious and cautiously wondering, you know, what he's going to look like once he gets playing again.
That Ottawa team is a funny team to me. You know, it's funny, we had Brad Treliving on the program yesterday, and, you know, the Calgary Flames are out to a 4-2 start, and he felt that the first two periods against Ottawa in that 6-0 loss were perhaps Calgary's best two periods of the season so far. And watching that team with no Karlsson, they're a scrappy bunch, but also an organization that didn't go out and move heaven and earth to add something that would get them over the hump into a Stanley Cup final. They intrigue me, but I'm not sure exactly what they are.
Well, there's a lot of questions about them. I mean, for one, their top line center, Kyle Turris, has been out there known to be available in trade. And you know, I don't know that they're actually going to move him, but I do know for a fact that they've had trade discussions involving him. And you know, that makes you ask questions on your, you know, on the face itself. I mean, it's hard to imagine a deal involving Turris that would see Ottawa get better, you know, for this season. Now, I don't suspect they'd be bringing back someone we view as a potential top line or second line center coming back in that deal at this point. And you know, they're kind of always caught in a funny spot. I mean, they don't spend to the cap. They're on an internal budget. And, you know, they seem to squeeze a little bit more out of their team than usually observers expect. And maybe this will be another season where they defy those expectations. But they don't, on paper, look like a great roster. But, you know, I think we've learned one thing in this league is that when you have truly star players, I mean, the elite of the elite, that those guys can make a big difference. I think bigger than we sometimes believe for hockey, because, you know, obviously the top players, even a defenseman, is usually only playing 25 to 30 minutes a night at most and spends a lot of time on the bench. But, you know, I think that Erik Karlsson's impact on them is significant enough to say that he makes the difference between good and a little bit better than that. And, you know, they'll be trying to defy the odds again, but I'm not sure where they're going. It's a long way of saying it. I mean, they're also having discussions about extending Turris. I could see that roster struggling, and that there's it's not going to be boring, I would suggest. And we'll see how things go after five games. It looks, you know, pretty good right now, but it's no guarantee that they're going to be a powerhouse in the East by any stretch.
Let's talk about a couple of players with kind of different contract. At least I have opinions on their contracts being a little different. Let's stay in Ottawa with the Canucks being the opposition tonight. Louis Erickson's lost to the team. He was injured in that game against Calgary over the weekend, 4 to 6 weeks. I look at that Louis Erickson deal, and I don't know, maybe I'm being a pessimist or maybe I'm being a Canucks hater, but I can't help but think we might look at this as one of the worst deals in the history of hockey when it's all said and done.
Wow, that's a big statement. I mean, I remember the David Clarkson deal might be up there.
Yeah, I get it. He played
50, 60 games on a 7-year contract, and unfortunately now his career is done. But look,
okay, I'll walk it back a bit. I'll walk it back a bit.
It's not a good deal. I think that much is clear, and it's hard to see him at his age salvaging it to a degree where you think he's worth the money that they signed him to. I mean, on that same day, Andrew Ladd got a similar contract. Kyle Okpozo in Buffalo. Franz Nielsen signed a pretty big deal in Detroit. I mean, that free agency day in general might go down as one where a lot of teams made some long-term expensive mistakes, and, you know, that's part of the risk of free agency. Yep. But, you know, it's too bad for Louis. He's never been able to get it going there. He had a pretty decent last season in Boston, which is what earned him that contract. And then there were some talks at the time of staying with the Bruins. But, you know, with where the Canucks are and their rebuild or whatever they're referring to it as right now, you know, I'm sure they'd love at some point to get that one off the books if they can.
I will bow to you in this situation. I think that's a better analogy. Maybe that series of free agent signings will go down as the bad batch. And look, I have nothing against Louis Erickson. You're right. I think in Boston that last year, it's just, you know, Pat and I were talking about this. We've said this here in Calgary for a long time. They remind us so much of that period of time with the Flames towards the last couple of years of Jerome McGinley's time, where who and what are you and where are you going here? Are you just getting players to prop up your superstar, or do you need to rebuild? And I think that's where it comes from. I think Louis Erickson's a fine person, and he might be a good hockey player. It's just a wrong fit.
Well, and it's the catch-22. I mean, the Sedins, really until last year, have been pretty productive players. And when you have those guys and they mean so much to your organization, you're trying to extend the window of competitiveness as long as they're around. But, you know, eventually sort of time ticks for everybody. And, you know, even them, we've seen a drop-off in their game. And obviously the organization hasn't had the success. Yeah, I can understand the catch-22. It can be tough to start, you know, tearing things apart while you still have players like that around who want to be there and want to finish their careers as Canucks. And, you know, there were some tough decisions made there. And really, I wonder if we'll see a trend in hockey similar to baseball where, you know, the top hitters in baseball that are in their late 20s, early 30s are only getting 2 and 3 year contracts for the most part. I'm talking guys with big names and production, they're just not getting the long deals. And that to me is where you'll likely go wrong with your Louis Erickson is giving him a 7 year contract at the point, the max length available to him. And then, you know, I do wonder if over time we'll see teams get a little bit more shrewd with guys in their late 20s, early 30s, and really try to limit, you know, did the term length on the deals, you know, more than worrying about the money.
I feel like it can't all be doom and gloom. I've got to give you some sunshine and rainbows too, Chris. Is there a better deal in hockey right now than the one that the Tampa Bay Lightning have Nikita Kucherov on? I mean, he's a 24, and what he's doing, this is a pretty sweet deal.
Well, outside of anyone like Connor McDavid, who's still a star on their entry-level deal, there's probably no better deal. And that one doesn't count because the league limits what you can give an entry-level player. So there was no craftiness involved in that negotiation. But certainly, you know, he's someone that you're going to hear about now is going to be in line for a big paycheck. They can extend him as of July 1st. And I would be surprised if we got through this summer without a pretty large extension being signed for Kucherov, because you know, he's the next wave in the eyes of the Lightning. He is, I think, probably going to get paid more than Steven Stamkos, in part because the cap's gone up since Stamkos signed his deal, but also because he's that good. And you know, his start to the season has been a great story for the Lightning. And I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of people have looked at this Lightning team and early in the season and, you know, predicted that they could come out of the East or maybe be a Stanley Cup contender, even though they missed the playoffs last year, because when you add how dynamic Kucherov has been to an already pretty complete lineup, including some nice pieces like Victor Hedman and still a useful Anton Strålman on their blue line, that you know that this is a pretty good team. So, you know, Kucherov scoring in the first 6 games has been nice for them, but you know he was a breakout star probably the last 2 seasons, especially last year, and he's not making very much money at this point, so that's a positive for the Lightning because they always seem to be juggling the cap concerns of these last couple of years.
The Washington Capitals, I know they're going up against the Maple Leafs, who are off to a great start. The Caps kind of, you know, 3-2-1, nothing to sneeze at, but Ovechkin's off to a great start. What do you make of what you're seeing from Washington, especially, you know, kind of framed with the last couple of years in the playoffs and those poor exits, and even what Brian McClellan said last year, that they were kind of in the last year of a 2-year window. What do you see in the Capitals this year?
They're in a transitional phase. You know, there's certainly the expectations inside the organization. You know, I think that they're hoping, obviously, to get back to the playoffs and maybe get hot at the right time and maybe finally get over a hump. But you know, they have not really backed off that idea that last year was their best window. And frankly, they're just not as deep this season. You know, they're weathering some injuries at the moment. Matt Niskanen's out for the next few weeks. And, you know, when you couple that with the fact they lost Nate Schmidt in the expansion draft and Kevin Shattenkirk in free agency, I mean, the blue line just isn't as good, frankly, as the one that they were playing in last year's playoffs. And, you know, similarly, they suffered a few losses up front, and Lars Eller's sick for tonight's game. And when you look at their forward line, that's just not quite what it was. And you know, they're right up against the cap. I'm talking within $1,000 or $2,000 of the ceiling at the moment. So, you know, they're in a tough spot where, you know, I don't really see them being able to bring on much salary, even if they wanted to get aggressive towards the deadline. We'll see maybe if they can ship out a contract or two to potentially allow them to do that. But, you know, I'm not sure that we might not be seeing kind of them on the downside of the mountain at this point. And, you know, I certainly won't pronounce them, you know, as a team that can't contend. I still think they're a very good team with a goalie that can trend to great and a goal scorer that still scores, you know, among the best in the history of the game and is off to a fantastic start now at Sobechkin. So, you know, anything is possible theoretically, but, you know, I don't know where you could look at them and really say either that there's room for improvement with, you know, being able to make external changes or that they're any better than they were last spring. And then, you know, John Carlson, the last year of his deal, he's an unrestricted free agent. I mean, I think that we're going to see quite a bit more turnover here in the next 12 months, and maybe they're not that far off where we're talking about some kind of rebuild or retool on the fly like some of these other organizations.
I want to end up with, you know, a team in this province, but not the Calgary Flames, because I'm just curious. I mean, we saw them day one against the Flames, and I thought they were world beaters, but the Oilers have fallen on hard times early on in the season. What are you seeing, what are you hearing from afar about Edmonton, who really, you know, a lot of people really felt that they have an incredible pedigree and were expecting big things? It's been a tough start.
Well, you can certainly see it in their coach. Todd McClellan has not been too happy with that group. And, you know, I get the sense that he's seen this before, you know, having been in San Jose, where often his teams were among the best regular season teams and certainly shouldered a lot of expectations at the start of years and, you know, had their own disappointments. You get the feeling he's trying to fight against that. And he doesn't want anyone just to write it off as, oh, it's, you know, it's only a kind of an up and down week and a half. It's not the end of the world. And, you know, we've seen him give some tough love with the practices he's given and also with some of his assessment of the players and things he's been saying about them. So, you know, even though it's early in the year and you know, I still think that they'll be okay, there's some real urgency there, I think, to get this thing back on track and to be a little bit more like the world beaters they looked like on opening night. And, again, I think when you have the team they have, that there's no reason to think it won't happen. But until you do it, all that really matters is the points you put in the standings. It's not the reputation you garner or what people like me and you say or write or think. So,
yeah,
you know, my feeling about Edmonton is that there's some pressure building around that team. You can see it in a lot of different ways, and it's kind of what people are saying that, you know, around the team when you talk to them. So we'll see how they can move forward here, but a couple more losses and who knows what'll happen, because they're really approaching the season as an opportunity to win. I don't think there's any middle ground for them. And, you know, they won't probably hesitate to make some changes, you know, even if it's just calling somebody up or, yep, you know, a demotion or something along those lines to try to spark things if this lingers much longer.
Good stuff as always, my friend. Chris, we will chat in another couple of days here, but already counting down the live show. You're going to be in studio in November. This is exciting for me. I have very few things at my age that make me excited. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, Rob. Talk to you soon, pal.
You betcha. Talk to you on Thursday.